So I'll have to ask for your forgiveness as we're up here trying not to be distracting as we're sending text message and all that, but Brother Gary's got some pictures that he wants to show on the projector, and we can't get signed into the Wi-Fi and all that stuff. So we were desperately trying to text Stephen to figure it out, and we couldn't figure it out. But Gary has assured me that as a picture is worth 1,000 words, and he has 4 pictures to show, we're going to get 4,000 words of description for those pictures here. So I hope that you come here with anticipation to hear the Lord's message, and so I'm going to give it to my brother-in-law, Gary, as he would offer that to us today.
Brother Adam, good morning to each and every one of you. So 4,000 words for 4 pictures, plus all my verses. We should be here till about 3:30. So I do thank you for the opportunity, though. I did have some stuff that I wanted to show up on the screen here, but nevertheless, we know how technology is nowadays, and we fight against it from time to time, and I guess today's my day. But I'm thankful again we could still get through this without a problem. It was just some visual effects to help us along the way here in this sermon that I prepared that the Lord put on my heart. But I am appreciative to be here. I thank each and every one of you that are live streaming this day. It's joyful to me that we do have technology that people can, from isolated areas, can remote into and to be able to watch a sermon from their home. That's something that I am excited about, because everybody can have the opportunity to be able to feast upon the Word of God no matter where they're at or what time it is. It's truly something that I enjoy, and even when I am sick, I have that opportunity to be able to live stream and to be able to take part in the sermons of the day. So I wanted to get with each and every one of you this day and be able to present a message, not something that you can change your life in a moment's time on, but something that maybe you'll contemplate on in the future, something that you can look back onto if you ever come into a difficult time. And I had some recent experiences that were pretty difficult in my life, and some recent experiences that were really good in my life. I'll start with a recent experience that was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was a great opportunity that the Lord presented to me and to my son and some of the younger men in this church. And it's an awesome opportunity to be able to spend time with those that are being raised in the gospel, and have an opportunity to see those that have been raised in the gospel and to be a witness unto them for the love of God and for the things that He can do for us in our lives, how He can change it, how He can strengthen us, how He can encourage us, how He can give us the direction in which we need to go. And so that recently we had a trip up to the ranch. It was the young people and myself and Aaron and Nikki, and it was a very good time. And Brother Jim was up there with Sister Kim, and Caitlin joined us further into that weekend. But it was an awesome experience. I really, really appreciated it. And I really enjoyed all the activities that we did, the learning lessons that we've had, the ability to fellowship with one another, to be able to sweat with one another, and to be able to technically shoot one another with airsoft rifles. And it was fun. We were running up and down all over the mountains, and you know, we had some good times, and we had some good experiences with those fun activities, plus the one I appreciate the most is the hard work that we did. I really appreciated that day, because you know, life has a lot of times in it when we got to work hard, and we got to persevere, and we got to endure, and we got to work our bodies and go through times where we're going to be straining, and where we're going to be, you know, dealing with things that are going to be difficult. And this was a good opportunity to be able to see the young men sweat and to be able to motivate them and to get some things done and accomplished that will have an effect on each and every one of you, I'm sure, someday in your near future or in your further future. And the thing that we did that will have an effect on each and every one of you was road work. We did a lot of road work. And it was a tiring experience, but it was an experience that we all got to have together as a group. We got to share it, and we got to see something that became of it that was beneficial to each and every one of those people that would travel into the to the ranch and to be able to experience the wonderful beauty that the Lord has provided for each and every one of us when we go up there and experience that environment. And we know that when we drive in there, some of us have experienced more damage than others to their vehicles, but you know, that's part of it. It's a dirt road, it gets down in there, and there's some difficult terrain that you have to navigate through, and some people have lost parts of their vehicles at times, and some people have heard that horrible noise of rock scraping the bottom of the vehicle. And that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to make it smoother for everybody so the road wouldn't be so difficult. And I think in life, I really reflected on that hard day's work. And I've been thinking about that a lot since then. And what can I do to continue that practice in my life to be able to be an example for others? And while we were there, that was the one thing I was trying the hardest, was to be an example to the younger men and letting them know that when we work hard and we sweat and we do things to be able to help others, there's going to be a long-lasting effect on everybody's life. And that's something that, as a father, has been really, really on my heart as of lately, as my kids are starting to transition from kids to young adults and being that example. And I know that in times of tribulations, when it comes, that they'll know with all assurity that the Lord is there for them, and that's who we rely upon. That's who we get our strength from to help us through those difficult times. And so I want to start this morning, and I had pictures, and I'm sure a lot of you could probably imagine these pictures as we go along. And the verse I wanted to start off with is in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And that's what we're trying to establish here. And that's probably the majority of my message this day. It's nothing elaborate. It's nothing sophisticated. It's simple. And I think that when we look at life, you know, a lot of the simple things that we deal with are the important things that help us develop in who we are and what we're going to be and how we're going to be able to show others the way in which we should go, especially when we begin to go into those stages of our lives where we get married and where we have children and we start raising them. It's more important to me each and every day that I make sure that the path that I'm walking is something that my family and my friends can look at that would reassure them that God is there for us, and that when we do those things and seek after righteousness, that it's going to have a long-lasting effect, and it's going to be a blessing for each and every one of us. And so when we were going through this time, and when we were working hard, we were moving a lot of rocks. We were moving a lot of rocks to fill in some pretty big holes, and it took a lot of time. And I saw how we were taking turns, and we saw how those that were stronger were carrying those that were weaker, and we were encouraging them. And you know, we can regulate how each other is doing. Somebody needs some water and needs to get a drink, needs a rest. You know, all those things are present when you start to do hard work like that. And I really respected the fact that, you know, when it was somebody's turn, they were taking the shovel and they were going and they were doing what they needed to do, whether it was moving rocks, you know, with encouragement and with motivation. We were accomplishing a lot, and we actually got a lot done. And to see that the road was developed and those difficult parts of the road that were torn apart and that were tearing apart vehicles, I'm sure, were taken care of, it was really neat to see how when we got in the vehicle to pack down the rocks, to pack down the dirt, everything was filled in, how smooth the transition into the next section of the path. I really thought it was neat. And by the time it was all said and done, we were all spent. We were exhausted. And I look at life and some of the days that I go through personally, you know, that's how I feel at the end of the day, whether it's mental or physical. And that's the message, you know, that I want to be able to get across here, is that not all the time is life just a physical trial, but it's also a mental. And I think the majority of it is. And I think that with God, you know, the Lord really helps us be able to develop and to have courage and to have the strength mentally to be able to endure this day that we live in. And so as a growing adult and learning these new experiences, frustration is one of those things that we deal with, and I'm learning more and more to be able to to put that frustration aside and look at those things that we can do that will be a positive outlook, that we can really focus on the negative and turn it into a positive. And with life, I believe that we go through many stages where we have to deal with our emotions, and we have to look at our emotions, and we have to take those emotions and put them aside and think about what is right. How would the Lord want me to deal with this? How would the Lord want me to walk this path and to show others that I am being a light for Him? And I want to read that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a couple of verses there. It's verses 24 and 26. And it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And that's one thing that I've really come to the understanding of, is that when you know the truth of the gospel, and then when you stick to it, and you rely upon it, and you apply it in your life, how it brings out those things that will give you the right direction in which you need to go. How it will make a difference to those that are trying to tear you down, that are trying to pull you apart, that are trying to set you astray. If you know the truth and if you practice the truth, that light of Christ is within you, and it's going to make you strong. It's going to make you have courage. It's going to make you be able to do those things that are fruitful for the Lord, and to be able to cast aside the things that the adversary puts in front of us, to be able to know what's on the path, to be able to know where we need to fill in those holes, where we need to apply something of a smoother transition. It helps us examine ourselves and where we're going. It helps us be able to make that road that much easier to travel down. And as we mentor our children, are we looking at what they're doing? Are we seeing those things that they're doing? Are we help making those fine-tuned adjustments to help them go in the right direction? Are we saying those kind words? Are we saying those little things that can make a difference? Small words can mean so much to somebody that's going through a difficult time, and all the things in life are coming down on them. And so I had a picture, and it was a picture of a lion. And as we all know, that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And I put that in big bold letters for myself, because the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And we have people within our lives, including myself, that has gone down the wrong path, that has been led astray, that didn't have Christ in his life, that experienced these things that would be detrimental to the welfare of our souls. And those are the things that we can look up to, those that are mentoring the young ones, our families. We can look at those things that we've done, and to be able to converse with our children, with our young people, with the challenges that they have, to let them know that we've been there, we've done that. This is why we talk to them. This is why we reach out to them. This is why we try to touch each and every one of our lives with the truth of the gospel, because when we know the truth of the gospel and when we share it, those difficult times that we've been through, we could pass that on to the younger generation, and we can watch and we can see them grow, and we can help their road be that much easier to travel down. And I've been thinking about these things a lot, because as we all know, the teen camp is coming up, and it does have a profound experience and an effect on each and every one of our lives. Our brother Aaron's going to be experiencing this for the first time, and this will be my fourth year, and it's just, it's overwhelming what you see when you have the ability to stand up and to profess the Word of God to the children, to the young adults in their lives, in this environment that we separate ourselves from the world from, and to be able to share that and to share our experience, to give them the knowledge of those things in which they can grow from. It's an awesome experience. I look forward to it now every year. I really do appreciate that time that we have. And really, when I first did this, I didn't realize, you know, how many young adults there are out there within our midst that are struggling mightily with the things of life, with human nature, with those things that the adversary puts in their place. And it's really, really surprising to me. A lot of children are raised in different environments and they're struggling because they don't have the support emotionally. They don't have the guidance. They don't have those that care about them as some of us care about our own children. And that's where it gives us the opportunity. That's where it gives us that ability to be the light of God, to be able to share that word of God, and to be able to be a part of the gospel and to share the truth of the gospel, to let them know with all assurity that when you bring God into your life, that He will have that ability to change you, to help you where you need to go. It's God's grace that does that. And it says here in verse 10, I'll finish it out with that verse, that, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And I love all those words, to establish you, to really give you the hope and the faith that you can pour out your heart to God and that you can give Him everything in which you have, and that He will take that and He will give you the strength in which you need. And when He gives you that strength that you need, you'll be able to make the good decisions. You'll be able to have sound judgment. You'll be able to have discernment in those things that you should do. And when it comes with all that is that settling, that peace, and the joy that you have in Christ. It's a wonderful blessing. And as you would think, the Lord will give that to you. But let me reassure you, it takes work. It takes hard work. It takes the dedication, and you have to apply yourself to it. You have to give the Lord your time. That is the most important thing that I've understood, is that when you give the Lord your time, He is going to reward you for that. Yeah, you might be out there really struggling in the heat, and you might be picking up rocks and moving rocks, but if we look at that, and we take that, and we put that in our lives as something that we can compare it to, how much more blessed are we, understanding that? And I believe that's why that we go through these trials, basic lessons in life of what we could do is doing simple road work and compare it to how it would change us in our lives if we move those rocks, if we fill in those holes, if we examine the path. Just like Christ spoke in parables to His disciples and to all the Gentiles and the Jews, that's how I believe that the Lord shows us in our lives. This is what you need to do, my child. This is what you need to do in your life. You need to struggle sometimes. You're going to struggle. But if you put your faith in Me, it's going to get better. And you're going to make it better for other people. I truly believe that. And if our eyes and our ears are open to that, we'll be able to share those things. I believe this is a testimony that I have. And it really is a blessing, and I hope it's a blessing to each and every one of you, especially our young people, because as I grow and as I get older, I even forgot my age the last time I was standing up there. My wife had to correct me after the sermon, but you know, those things come along, and I realize now more and more, I start living through the younger men because I can't do as much as I used to do, and I appreciate that much more when I see and I witness that the younger men are doing those things that God calls them to do. And I take no credit in that whatsoever. I give all that glory to God because He is the one who gives us the ability to share those things with the young people, to help them in their lives, to encourage them. And I hope that at the same time, the young people, the young men, the young ladies, see those people around them and have an understanding of that, and that their eyes and their ears are open to that and can witness unto the Lord as they grow older and to be able to share that with others. And that's what I was telling the young men at this opportunity that we had, was that the one thing I asked of them that was most important to me when we gathered together and we had a couple conversations as men, was that when we go back to camp, when you have an opportunity, because all these young men have been raised in this church and have an opportunity to be able to share the gospel with those that are struggling, those that are finding life difficult, to have the courage to say something. Just speak up. It doesn't have to be this big, elaborate speech. It doesn't have to be something that is going to take a half an hour. It could be a simple little saying within their group that can have a profound change in somebody else's life that is one of their peers. And that's what I asked, is that they would have the ability to do that, to look to God, that God would show them that opportunity, and they would seize that opportunity when they have it presented before them. Okay. So, I'm going to go to chapter 3 of Titus, and I'm going to read 3 verses there, 3 through 6. Okay, it says, Titus chapter 3, 3 through 6 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And as I said previously, this was kind of follow-up to that conversation. We've all been through life in many different ways, in many different aspects. A lot of us have these categories in our lives that we've experienced. But now, as we change and we turn ourselves over to God, as we repent, as we follow after that example that Christ has set, we have that opportunity to let the Holy Ghost work upon us and to let him guide us and direct us. And through the Lord's mercy, the day that we have to answer for our works, those things in which we did, whether it was something that we did to service to others or something that we changed within our own lives, we'll know that at the judgment bar when we stand before God. And as I preach to you, that's my hope and my desire, is that each and every one of you take that time and take those experiences that were negative and turn them into those experiences that can be positive. If you're dealing with this stuff within your life at this time, look at that. Understand the repercussions of your choices and how it's going to affect you in the future. Is the road going to get rougher or is it going to get smoother? What direction are you going in? How are you traveling down your path? Are you doing those things that the Lord calls you to do? Are you looking ahead of the road that's ahead? Are you looking at the road that's ahead of you? Are you thinking about baptism? Are you thinking about those things in your life that you need to change to help not only yourself and your soul's welfare, but the salvation of others also? And that's the important part, is that we look at those things. We look at ourselves daily, we look to see if we're picking up our cross daily, and we look to see what's in our path for the day, and to make the steps that are going to put our feet on a firm foundation, that are going to put our feet in the right place so we won't stumble. And we need to be careful of those things that we could stumble on. And we need to be sure that we're aware of the adversary and those things that he's doing in this world in which we live and how he's trying to have an effect on us. So with that, I want to read 4 verses in 1 John chapter 1. And this is a word of caution. We're going to read verses 6 through 10. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So look at ourselves, look and see if we're being hypocritical within our own lives. Look and see what those sins are and work out your salvation in humbleness and in meekness. Bow down before God, get on your knees, and say those prayers in which you need to say, because I believe that the Lord puts on your heart those things in which you're doing wrong. And that's because he's looking at each and every one of us as one of his children, as a father. He wants us to be able to come to him with those troubles, with those trials, with those tribulations, those things that we mess up in our lives. He wants us to be able to express those things to him. Because I found out that, we'll get to the bad experience which I had this week, but I found out that when really you come and you communicate effectively with the right intention for a good result, how the Lord works with you and makes those things right, especially when you're fighting for the truth, especially when you know in your heart with all assurity that those things that you are speaking of are not to deceive, are not to cast a shadow upon, but are to bring to the light and to make sure everybody has a clear understanding of what it is that you're bringing to the table. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to bring to the table those things that we're really having a struggle with in our lives. Those things, those vices that keep tearing us down, that keep bringing us away from him, because we know that with that effective communication, when we're talking to the Lord, he's going to hear us and he's going to answer our calls. So I have a question here. Are we repenting of our sins? Are we thinking this is just a part of life and everybody does those things? If we're thinking that, we have the wrong frame of mind. We're not thinking about what the truth of the gospel is and what the Lord wants us to do in our lives. We're not looking at the example that Jesus Christ has set for each and every one of us. So we really need to look at those things in our lives that if it's having an effect on us in a negative way, you can guarantee it and take it to the bank that it's having an effect on those that are around us negatively. And if it's the Lord that we have in our life that we're asking to help change those things, he's going to give us the strength to do it. Okay, so I want to read in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 22. And so before I read this, I really thought it was neat how we did all this work. It was a long day's work, and you know, I even got to the point to where I said, Jim, I think we're all done. And when we were moving all this rock, and we still had a rock in the truck, and we went back and we were having lunch, and Jim came back with the truck to see how we were all doing, and we were all excited to get back out there and to finish up this work because we had enough probably to fill in one more big hole. And I said, okay, Jim, you ready to go? We're all ready to go. And he said, we're not going. And I said, what are you talking about? And I looked like I was up at his truck and I was like, what'd you do with all the rock in the back of your truck? And Jim had used it up the road by where the camp was that they were staying. And I have to say that I was really relieved at that point. But our brother saw that we poured our heart and our soul into this job and we were all spent from it. You know, we were pretty much ready to eat dinner and go to bed kind of thing, and it was only probably 3:00 in the afternoon. But the really neat thing about it was that, you know, our brother and our sister here seeing that, they had to go to town, and when they came back from town, they had bought each and every one of the young men and myself and Nikki and even Ethan Dilly Bar from Dairy Queen. And boy, it was such a wonderful treat and it was a nice reward to have for a good hard day's work. And we really, as a group, appreciated that so much because when you're up there, ice cream isn't like something that you can just, you know, go to the fridge and get. And I was kind of, as frozen as it still was when it got back, I was really excited because of that, because ask my wife, I'm not a big fan at all with ice cream that's really soft and half melted. I like it cold and I like it frozen. Man, that Dilly Bar was solid. And I don't know how fast we ate it, but boy, it sure was refreshing and it went down quick. And it was a great, my point is, it was a very nice reward for a good hard day's work. And a brother saw that, we put in the effort, and our sister also, and we were rewarded because of that. And simple things like that make a difference in people's lives. But here in James chapter 1, verse 12, 22, because this is even a greater reward for those things that which we do. This is even something that in the long run in our lives, we know that when we do all these little things, make these little differences, there is a greater reward. And especially when we endure temptation. So in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 22, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man that is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So really look at those things that you can do. Look at those situations in your life where you can make a difference. And so I wanted to express the difficult time that I had here as of recently. It was within my work environment, and I really had a struggle, but I really appreciated the opportunity for the Lord to see this opportunity that I had and to make it turn into something that was beneficial for a learning experience for the people that were involved. And I'm going to be very careful with my words because I don't want to mention any names, but it was very difficult because it was something that was a personal attack on me. And I really had a hard time with it because I pour out my heart and soul to that which I do, whether it's for the Lord here, but also for my brothers that I work with in my work and my sisters within my work environment. I care about each and every one of them. And some unkind words were said about me, and it was something that was through the email system, which is considered official documentation. And I was really upset about it because I was trying to take a situation and get it corrected and make a positive outcome of it in a learning experience for another individual. And I really started to respond via email with words that were probably not in the most professional and Christian manner that could be pronounced on paper. And my co-manager, he came up to me, and because he seen something was wrong and he was looking at it, and I asked him his opinion on it, and he said, "Oh, stop, don't do that." And what he suggested was that I talk to the superintendent. And so I said, "You know, that is a good idea. I'm going to go ahead and do that." And I ended up doing that. And as difficult as it was, as my emotions were very worked up and I was very frustrated, my superintendent came to my office and looked up at the ceiling and said, "Wow, I'm surprised there's not a hole in that ceiling right now," because my superintendent read that message. I said, "Yeah, this is definitely a personal attack, and I like to take every measures that we can to be able to mitigate it and to make sure that this person understands with all clarity where I'm coming from, what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to accomplish, and not turn everything into the negative, but what we're trying to do is turn it into a positive and a learning experience." And so my superintendent went to the deputy director and expressed that email, passed it on down the chain. And I was really so thankful when I heard the words when she came back to me about how the deputy director couldn't believe that something like that was said. It was very difficult for that person also to even look at that and to say, yeah, this is completely outrageous and not even remotely what we're looking at and his personality and his characteristics. This is completely uncalled for, and we need to sit down and have a conversation with this gentleman. And I was even more appreciative when he said that, you know, we know and all the upper management knows how you are and how you act and how you treat others, and we want you to know that you have our 100% support, and we know that this is not you. And that's when I was very thankful, and I looked and I right then reflected back at, okay, this is how the Lord wants me to be. He wants me to be that person, even though I want to be this person right here. You know, it was a very difficult time, but slowing down, let my emotions settle, and thinking about those things that I should do and how I should approach it and who I should rely upon, it really worked out. We had a conversation. We had a clear understanding that this would not happen again, which I was very appreciative of. And the individual that we were talking to apologized, and I was thankful for that, because there's been other issues previously to that where there was no apology given because of certain things that were said and done. But it got to the point here to where it was going straight for the heart, and I think that individual had a clear understanding of that and was made very well aware of their actions. And so I really looked and I glorify the Lord in that, because I wanted to be somebody completely different than what the Lord wanted me to be and expects us to be. And the outcome turned with relying upon my peers that I have entrusted myself with to seek advice to, gave me the support and the direction in which to go. And the Lord did himself also and made me see that and aware of that. And I was very thankful for that. But that's my point, is that, you know, even at a moment's notice, things can change in our lives. The road can completely change. But really, we need to look and see when it does, what action we need to take. And we need to rely upon the Lord for that. So with that, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. And I'm going to read verses, you know what, I'm going to read 4 through 10. Okay, we'll just read the whole thing. Okay, Luke chapter 15, 4 through 7, or 4 through 10. It says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And I really look at that, and if you have an opportunity in your life to change somebody, and we know that that person is struggling mightily, take that opportunity for that child of God, to help that person, to bring that person back in the fold. That is something that we can exercise and that we could put into practice. I'm sure that the Lord puts those things in our place and gives us the capability to do. That is what the Lord calls us to do. He'll give us the strength and the courage to do so. And lift that person up. Try whatever you can, whatever it takes to get that person back. That is something of my desire, that my eyes, and I'm aware of those things which can happen for others and that we can make happen for others. And so I wanted to go to, and I really love this verse. I just found this. This is like totally new to me. It's Proverbs 27:17, and I had a picture for this, and I really liked it, and I'm kind of bummed out because I didn't get to share it. It says, 27:17 in Proverbs, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I really appreciate that because, you know, we have to rely upon each other as we're going through life. These young men and young women rely upon each other. Look at those things that you can help each other with. Make that change and make those comments that you can really have an effect on somebody else's life that would sharpen them, sharpen their skills. Give them that ability to have the confidence in the Lord and to look out for them. Reach out your arm to them when they need it. Give them that understanding that the Lord is with us. The Lord wants us to be together. He wants us to fellowship as much as we can. He wants us to come into His house of worship, to praise Him, to strengthen others. Look at those opportunities. Seek for those things. And I know I haven't read in the book of Nephi, but I'm going to now. And it's in the third book of Nephi, chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 66 through 72. And this is the start. This is the starting point. It says, "And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that you shall believe in me, and that you shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved." That's what the Lord wants us to do, is to be saved. "For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, that which I have commanded you at this time, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and it is also written before you, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, which is thou fool, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, or rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then he come unto me with a full purpose of heart, and I will receive you." And that's where I go back and say that we have to put it all out on the table. Whether it's a sin that we have in our own lives or it's something that we have against our brother, we have to get it out there and we have to communicate that. If we don't communicate, nothing is going to be accomplished. And when we do communicate, that we do that in a soft manner, that we have a loving attitude towards that brother or sister, and that we do those things that are according to the Lord's commandments. And that way that we can have that purity within ourselves and that our heart is clean and that we know that the Lord is with us and that we can grow from that and that we can learn from that. And then most importantly, we can share that and those experiences with the younger generation as it's growing up. Give them that support. Give them that guidance. Give them that vision that they can see. So with that, you know, we need to, I read in Colossians chapter 3, two verses, verses 8 and 9. It says, these are some of the things that we have to put off within ourselves. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And that's where I really looked at that situation in which I was in. I had a lot of these things, and I was very angry. And I was thinking, you know, what is it that I need to do? And when I stopped and I thought about it, I really wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do and to make it an outcome that would be positive, not only for myself and the individual that this was an experience with, but also that it would be something that the Lord could look down upon and see that it was fruitful unto Him. And I hope by all means that I took every step possible in my capabilities to be able to do that for the Lord. And I believe that the situation was a positive outcome. I think moving forward, we'll have a, a, a different relationship, and that there will be that that experience that we can look back on and make sure that we don't travel down that road again. So, a couple more things here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21 through 24, these are the things that we need to be doing. It says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So my message again is to experience life, enjoy it. Look at those things that you can do and have fun doing and grow from that. Even though it might be a lot of hard work and it might be a struggle, there's always something that we can get out of it that we're going to grow from and that we could share with others. Look at the actions that you're doing. Take into consideration the welfare of your soul at all things that you do and share those things that will help somebody else. Okay? So in Revelation chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment and will not blot out his name of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And I don't look forward to the day of that, but I strive to make changes in my life to where as this day approaches that I am prepared. And I hope each and every one of you are preparing yourselves for this day. Life happens fast and we go through changes and things change in an instant, but look at those opportunities that can make a difference when it comes to the end. That when we're before the judgment bar, that Jesus Christ himself will confess our name before his Father. And that's a great goal to keep in mind as we're going through life on a daily basis. So in Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. May each and every one of you have that understanding in your life that whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it to change your life for the better. Do it to make somebody else's life change for the better. Take those experiences, which you might not want to share amongst a large group, but if you see somebody that is struggling along the same lines that you've been down and have traveled on, pull that person aside and support that person, edify that person, lift that person up. Please do that. Please look at the scriptures that the Lord gives us in our lives, that word of God, and apply it to your to your life and to those that are around you, because the Lord does give us those opportunities. And again, this was message was on my heart for the upcoming teen camp, and it's hard work. It is. It's sometimes, I think we get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and it goes to 11 o'clock at night. Zach knows, and you know, we're worn out. We're putting our heart and soul into this, and it's because we know that we can have a change on an individual's life that seriously needs it, that needs that support. And it's a great opportunity, and when it's said and done, and we get to rest from it and look back, what a blessing it is. It puts wind in my sails. I'm looking forward to the future, to the younger guys, younger women, how they're growing up, that they could be CITs, and then they'll turn into counselors, and the Lord will call them for works within their lives to be able to do. That way, I can live precariously through them and see that each and every one of you and the group that we have at this local has made a difference, and we'll see those fruits together. And that is my hope and my prayer for us as the body of Christ. And I pray that each and every one of you would take these words into consideration. So God bless, and thank you for your time.